And this series that I'm starting this morning really speaks to each of these things that we might say we depend on, and Jesus will use them as a metaphor for our true dependence, which should be on Him. This morning, we begin that series, the first one of these I Am's you will find in the Gospel of John. So make your way to John chapter 6. There's eight I Am statements in the New Testament, seven of which I'm going to bring forth through John, but he does make an I Am statement in Revelation when he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But I'm just going to focus on these seven in John, leading to the Easter service when we will talk about how Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. But this morning in John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, make your way there, and I'm going to read. If not, look up on the screen, and we're really going to be walking through this passage in John chapter 6, so it's almost like a commentary this morning, so you get a full weight of understanding what Jesus is speaking to these individuals this morning. John writes, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered that boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where he had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus wasn't there, nor his disciples, they came themselves, got into boats, and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to Jesus, what must we do the works of God? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him, whom he has sent. So then he said to them, what sign do you have that we might see and believe in you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, listen up. I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of the Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him in the last day. So the Jews grumbled because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Again, this is the first of seven I am statements in the Gospel of John. We first understand this understanding of when Jesus says, I am, it's important to understand exactly what Jesus is saying with all of these statements. And so with that, I have to take you to Exodus chapter 3, where this statement is used for the very first time. It's when Moses is on Mount Sinai, and he's wanting to know, okay, God, where do I, how do I let them know that you sent me? What's your name? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent you to me. So every time that Jesus uses one of these metaphors, I am, and then uses the metaphor, he is emphatically stating that he is Yahweh. He is the personal God. Every time before this time, he was always Elohim, which dictates his creation, his authority. But this is the first time that the Jews would begin to say Yahweh, Lord, in a very personal way. In John chapter 18, Jesus was about to be arrested by a group of soldiers, priests, and Pharisees. He knew what they wanted. But they asked him a question, or Jesus asked them a question. He asked them this in verse 4. He says, whom do you seek? They replied, Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 5 tells us Jesus responded, what? I am he. And why is that important? Well, notice what happens in verse 6. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they fell to the ground. When men come face to face with the God-man, they drop to their knees. These men were armed with weapons, but they dropped in his presence. When we walk through these I am statements, we should be filled with wonder. We should be filled with awe, and we should respond to Jesus, the Son of God. We can never, never lose our awe of who Jesus is. As soon as you lose your awe of who Jesus is, you stop growing. And that's the purpose of this series. To grow more and more in love with Jesus, the Son of God. John wrote his gospel account of Jesus and his life so that we would believe. That we would believe he is the great I am. That he is Yahweh, our Lord. John 20, 31 summarizes this. He says, I wrote these things so that you might believe in him. The idea of belief is that you are putting your everything into what Jesus has done. Not 90%, not 99.9%, but you are 100% dependent on Jesus Christ dying for your sins and rising from the dead. What John chapter 6 tells us, and all these I am statements will tell us, is that people have a hard time believing that it's Jesus alone. It's not Jesus plus your parents taking you to church. It's not Jesus plus your baptism. It's not Jesus plus your confirmation. Nothing adds to Jesus' work on the cross. Nothing. And if you've added to it, then you have nothing. That's what Jesus is going to tell us. These seven I am statements from Jesus in John focus our attention on our greatest need. Our greatest needs. Being the bread of life, Jesus aims to satisfy you just like food does. Just like food does to a hungry stomach. Jesus wants to feed our deepest spiritual hunger. And that is to be forgiven of our sins. The context of John 6 is that Jesus had just miraculously fed over 5,000 people with some fish and some bread. Just a few fish and a few bread, and Jesus fed them all until they were full. And he even had some left over. But then Jesus takes this moment to take it to a deeper conversation. The deeper hunger that we should all have, spiritually speaking. So the question I want to ask is this, or I ask, why bread? I mean, why bread? Well, the first thing that we notice in bread is that bread in New Testament times, in this period of time, bread was the most important part of the meal. When we go to a restaurant, we generally focus on what kind of main course we're going to have, right? Now, a basket of bread might come if you're at Johnny's or wherever else, but that's a side thing. The idea of why Jesus uses bread is because in New Testament times, bread was the main meal. When Jesus says that he is the bread of life, he is saying he is the most important part of your life. He's the main dish. The question is he? If you eat another meal before your main dish, are you really hungry? In our culture, that would be called chips and salsa. Anybody? I just took my wife out for Valentine's Day, and we went to her favorite Mexican restaurant. I ate so much chips and salsa that when my meal came, of course I ate it. But I was sick. Like, literally, I said, Laura, we've got to go walk. I mean, literally, let's walk to Kansas. Because I am so sick. Some of you aren't hungry. Some of you aren't hungry for Jesus because you're snacking on something else. Why bread? Because Jesus wants to remind us he has to be the main dish. Jesus can't just be a tag along to your life. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says this. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Why bread? Because Jesus needs to know, is he the main dish or is he just a snack? Why bread? Well, in biblical times, number two, bread was universal in its use. What does that mean? Well, the idea here is that everyone had access to bread. It wasn't a rich thing. It was poor and rich, everyone in between. Everyone ate bread. Now, rich would use wheat, poor would use barley, but the point is that everyone understood you have bread. And its access is always available. By using bread as a metaphor, Jesus is saying he is available to you. Rich or poor, big sins, little sins, drug dealers and fake ID makers like me, not anymore. Just want to clarify, statute of limitations aren't up yet. By being the bread, what he's saying is, I'm available to you. But you have to take me in. He's available. John 3:16, again, favorite verse, but he says, for God so loved the world. His availability is to the world, not to Iowa or the United States, to the world. He gave his only son that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved, rescued through him. Why bread? Because Jesus wants you to know he's available. Why bread? Well, because bread, number three, symbolizes God's presence. Throughout all of Scripture, we see bread symbolizing God's presence. It's symbolic. To fulfill prophecy, Micah said Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the name. The name Bethlehem comes from the word house of bread. We learned studying about the tabernacle and the temple in Hebrews in our study and how that pictures Jesus. Well, the tabernacle was continually filled with bread. Showbread, it was called. In Numbers chapter 4, we can read about this. And all over the table of the bread of presence, see again, there's that idea symbolic. The bread represents God's presence. They shall spread a cloth of blue and put it on the plates and the dishes for incense, the bowls and the flagons, for the drink offerings. The regular showbread also shall be on it. This bread, this showbread, was a symbol of God himself. A reminder to his people that every time they eat bread, they should think of him. So when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, he used bread to symbolize his body, which would be given for you and for me. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Bread is a symbol. We are to remember every time we eat. We don't eat bread as a main course. But the picture is, every time you eat, you should consider God and his presence. This is why bread. So now back to John chapter 6. So the crowd had just been fed this amazing meal that they didn't have to work for. Bread and fish. They got this free meal. And then there's Jesus, and they're coming back, and they want another meal. And Jesus says this, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And on him, the God, the Father, has set his seal. And then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? In other words, what can we do to work for this food? We're used to working for food. Do we have to work for this food? What do you want us to do, Jesus? Like many of us, before we put our trust in Christ alone for our salvation, We feel like we have to work for it, don't we? We feel like we have to work to earn God's favor, to get more bread. I love what Jesus says in verse 29. Jesus said to them, here's the work. You want to know the work? You want to know how to receive me and get more of me? Believe in me. Now this belief, it's such a stronger word than how we use it in our culture. We can believe in the tooth fairy. We can believe in the Easter bunny, whatever. The word believe here is such a strong word. I wish they would change it to the word in the Greek. It literally means to rely on. So in other words, you want to know the work of God? You rely on Jesus and what he did for you. Every one of you sat in a chair. Did any of you test the chair before you sat down? What religion teaches us is you have to test the chair before you sit down. That is a work. In other words, what are you trusting in? Are you trusting the chair is going to hold you up, or the fact that you put weight on it to make sure it would hold you? No. What Jesus is saying here is you have to sit down and trust that the chair is going to do what the chair is going to do. Every one of us sat down, and I guarantee you, you didn't test the chair. So when it comes to believing in Jesus, why add a work so that his work becomes useless? Believe. Look at verse 30. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we might believe in you? This wasn't enough for them that they had just got fed from a few loaves and a couple pieces of bread. They had just been fed to their full, miraculously, and now they want another sign. They need another sign. These hungry people had the nerve for another sign. We do the same thing. Don't we? We continually ask God to do something while forgetting what he has already done. Our needs were met yesterday, but we want to know what Jesus is going to do for us today. So in verse 31, the people challenged Jesus. Hey, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it wasn't Moses who gave them the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you true bread from heaven. So the people challenged Jesus. They were asking Jesus to prove himself. Moses provided bread for 3 million Israelites in the desert for 40 years. Do that for us, Jesus. Jesus had only given them bread once. The bread from Moses came from heaven. Jesus used earthly bread and multiplied it. Their trouble was that their hungry stomachs had blinded them from their greatest hunger, which was their need spiritually. Check out how Jesus responds in verse 32. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread, but my Father. Jesus then defines what this true bread is in verse 33. I am the bread, for the bread is from God. And then they respond in verse 34. Give us this bread. And then it comes to our verse in verse 35, I am the bread. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Now, skip all the way to verse 41. Like I said, we're going to kind of walk through this as a commentary, and then I'm going to draw out the last application, I promise. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? It's very interesting that these Israelites, or the very same Israelites, grumbled to Moses when they were getting manna as well. I guess it's human nature, isn't it? To continually grumble to God. We still grumble today. Verse 42 reveals their very grumbling. Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? What was their problem? Here's their real problem. They have grown way too familiar with Jesus, and yet they didn't know him. They knew who Jesus' family was. They knew the facts about who Jesus was, yet they really didn't know him, did they? Some of us in this room are in the danger of the very same thing. Maybe you grew up in church. You've attended Awana. You know a few Bible stories. You know what happens at Christmas. You know what happens at Easter. And you think you figured Jesus all out. Be careful that you don't allow what you know about him to keep you from actually knowing him. See, the Israelites ate manna and were famished the next day. Jesus repeats his metaphor again in verse 48. I am the bread of life. He then reminds them that even though people ate manna in the desert, they all still died. Everything material has a built-in mortality, in other words. No matter how much we exercise, those of you who do, how good your diet is, we are all going to die. If you want something that lasts for eternity, then you must partake of the thing that is eternal. Look at verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This was a startling statement. Verse 52. The Jews then disputed among themselves, how can we eat this man's flesh? They began to argue sharply about themselves. The actual word here reveals that they wanted to get into a fist fight because of what Jesus just said. They were stumped. Is Jesus making it seem like he wants them to be cannibals? Instead of backing off, Jesus makes an even more deliberate, and even makes it harder for you to understand or to believe this, but you must. In verses 57 and 58, as the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate, the manna, and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. What Jesus is saying by this statement clarifies that we must take him, the very core being of who we are, must take him, must believe in him, must believe in the finished work of what the cross represents, what the cross did, which was Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. We have to decide. Who or what will we rely on spiritually speaking? Whenever somebody encounters Jesus, you and I, we have a decision we have to make. What John chapter 6, by Jesus saying, I am the bread of life, he is requiring all of us to make a decision. So here's the application. Get it done in a few minutes. How do we respond? How do you respond to the bread of life? Well, we see that there are several responses. Number one, some people were very discouraged by what Jesus said. Look at verses 60 through 65. When many of his disciples heard it, what Jesus was saying, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to this guy? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about what he said, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help to you at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. So the first thing that you see when you hear that Jesus is the bread of life, there was a discouragement. They were discouraged. The word hard means it was difficult for them to accept. It was too tough for them to hear. As a result, they won't accept the food. I don't want that food. The issue here, you have to understand, isn't that they couldn't understand it. They just didn't want to accept it. Some of you don't want to fully surrender your lives to Jesus Christ because you really don't want to stop doing what you're doing. Jesus doesn't adjust his teaching to make it more acceptable to you. In fact, he goes even a step forward and challenges them. Are you going to take offense what I'm saying? The real Jesus of the Bible is hard to listen to sometimes. Are you bothered by what the bread of life says in God's word? Are you bothered by what he asked you to do, follower of Christ? Good. You should be. We should be. The things that Jesus say are hard to accept because our flesh wars against the Spirit. So what are you going to do with him? Does what Jesus say in his word, in the Bible, discourage you? Are you going to keep believing what you believe instead of what Jesus said? I can promise you this, Jesus isn't adjusting his word. We are the ones who need adjustment. Well, there is that discouragement, but then we also have just plain out disbelief. Look at verse 66. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. We can't help but feel a little sad at this point, right? The crowd had listened to Jesus' teaching. They had just been fed bread and fish. They followed Jesus across the lake. They're listening to his teaching, and it says these disciples turned back. Now, you have to understand, a disciple in the Bible is a learner. What Jesus is making a distinction is you can be a learner of Jesus and not be a true follower of him. You can be learning the facts about Jesus, but never really follow Jesus. Because you don't like what he says. They didn't get what they wanted, so they left him. They didn't get what they wanted from Jesus, another meal, when Jesus was offering a meal that would last forever. Will you walk away? Will you walk away when the word of God is tough to hear? Will you bail? Or will you believe? And then finally, there was acceptance. That what Jesus is saying when he says, I am the bread of life, there was genuine acceptance of what Jesus, maybe they didn't understand completely, but they put their trust in Jesus. Look at verses 67 through 69. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well, like these unbelievers? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, relied on, trusted, and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. As Jesus looks around and watches the crowd thin out, he turns to those 12. And we get Peter's account. And Peter says, you have the words of eternal life, and we have believed. He accepts it. In other words, Peter is saying, Jesus, we are satisfied with you. You are the one we desire the most. We have put our faith and trust in you alone. You are the great I am. Where else would we think about going? Jesus is the bread of life. We must receive him. We must take him in. To receive the bread is to understand what Jesus did. He died for your sins and rose on the third day. I know some of you are you hold Jesus at arm's length. You may even comment, man, the bread looks good. Boy, that bread even smells good. Bread will do you no good until you take him in. Have you received the bread of life so that you can be full? Let's pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word draws us to your Son, the giver of life, eternal life. Lord, we need these reminders, for we are easily distracted for what the world has to offer, which still leaves us hungry. May this series, may this first I am, that Jesus, that you declare, you are our very satisfying bread, that we would walk out here knowing, if we know you, and that you know us, that we are already full. And we need nothing else to snack on. God, help us. That we might fall in love with you more and more each day. For it's in your name I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.